everyone wants to hurt me. There's too much danger in this city.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
I'll wait for you.
To WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. And this is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. We're going to be offering you today an opportunity to make your pledge of support for WBAI. And in order to do that, we're going to entice you with a gift. And we hope that this is something that you will enjoy. And connect to WBAI. Connect to the importance of this very special program. And when we were here last, we spoke about the last showing of the DVD, of the movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy by Greg Palast. And now we're actually offering you the DVD, an opportunity for you to have, view, and share with your family, friends, community. You can gather and listen to this DVD at your leisure. And I say this because I believe that this is a very, very important film. Matt, you saw the film. Why don't you give us a review?
Well, it's very, very interesting. When I saw it, Greg Palast was there with his photographer, cinematographer, Zach, and you really get a clear picture that you don't see in mainstream media of what is going on behind the scenes. How many of these people that you see getting their wealth, and it's not a pleasant sight to say. He shows who is doing what, and he names names, and you see these people, and you see how they think. And it's very, very instructional. You will get a different perspective on what's going on in the world. It would sort of prepare you, kind of, to navigate, if you will, what's coming up, upcoming events. You will be prepared for what will be happening and who is running for the candidates for the election. So, from that standpoint, it's very educational.
It's not only educational, I feel that it is revolutionary in a way. And I think that people really need to focus on what's truly happening and how so much of the financial situation, the mortgage situation, has been manipulated. And we can see how the real players in Congress, in the presidency through over the years, the Supreme Court, are being manipulated by a very few people. Bought is a better way of putting it.
Right.
But it really goes to disenfranchise voters and also to be a very destructive force in people's lives. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a clip that comes much later in the film. And just to give you a sense of the weight of it all, then we're going to come back and play a little bit more from the beginning, in which you get to see who all of these players are. But the DVD itself is called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And if you make a pledge to support WBAI, we're asking for a $75 pledge of support. We'll thank you with a copy of this DVD. The number to call is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. So we're going to just leap into the film, and you'll hear a little bit of the real impact, and then we're going to come back and look at the staging process for how this actually came to be. So stay tuned.
How does this happen? I know they can't take your job and home and hope unless they take away your power to do something about it. If they're going to take away your job and take away your home, they'd better take away your vote. And I discovered how they did it in 2012 when I visited a nearby church that ministers to the laid-off Delphi workers. It was Election Day, or for black folk, Souls to the Polls Day.
Hi! What's the name of this church?
Freedom Faith.
Help me.
Freedom Faith Missionary Baptist Church.
Is today Souls to the Polls Day?
Yes.
I have a question. Is today the day that people are going to be voting? Vote after church?
I have no idea.
Shepherding the souls is Tara Williams.
Our congregation is going to take individuals, our congregation, down to the vote of election right immediately after service.
Are you going to vote today?
Are you joining us for church also?
I would love to.
But come on in.
Come on in. Get fed.
They piled into the church van to vote.
Bye-bye.
They arrived and got in line and waited and waited and waited.
Here with the souls and the polls. And there's your soul.
The overwhelming majority of black people in Ohio vote on the Sunday before Election Day because they can't take Tuesday off. Early voting is required by U.S. law, but Ohio's Republican Secretary of State has resisted it. He shut down almost every big city early polling station. In Dayton, he permitted only one single voting place for over 80,000 black voters.
Excuse me, can I ask you, why are you waiting in this line?
Well, I have to exercise my right to vote, so if I have to stand in line to do it, that I'm gonna do that.
It's really cold.
So they waited for hours. Outside the city, in the suburbs, I checked the wait on the lines where white people vote.
Well, actually, there's no line.
Back in Dayton, they waited. And waited. Nearly 500,000 black folk all over Ohio. Then something quite odd happened. At the end of the line, after hours, the souls at the polls did not get ballots.
If you're just arriving, come on in, have a seat, look for Frank. He's wearing the tie, he'll get you seated.
They got a number to wait for this instead. These are applications for absentee ballots. But they're not absent. They're right here at the legal poll. Then they got mail-in ballots and envelopes to put them in. Using an absentee ballot is playing bingo with your vote.
Number 175 and under, 175 and under can head up the steps. Stay to the left as you exit 175 and under.
The nasty secret of American democracy is that over 1 million absentee ballots are rejected, never counted. Is this ballot switcheroo even legal? I drove through the night with one of these pseudo ballots to Ohio's Capitol, and at midnight, I reached the home of law professor Robert Fetrakis. He was crazy enough to let me in. I showed him what they were giving black voters.
Every early voter, almost all of them African Americans, were handed an absentee ballot. Is that common practice here?
Absolutely uncommon. And I would suspect it's either done out of incompetence for convenience or to defraud people of their vote. You vote absentee, they can pick through the absentee and say they didn't fill this out all the way, they didn't sign here, you know, they didn't initial there, and thus toss the absentee. Essentially, they're treating the absentee like a second-class provisional ballot. None of that could be done in regular early voting.
But the state did it anyway. I didn't have the heart to tell them that their ballots may never get counted. In fact, over 2 million ballots, not just absentees, are cast and not counted. That's official. They call it spoilage. How do votes spoil? Not by leaving them out of the fridge. There are 10 ways to spoil your vote or wipe away your registration. Think you're registered? This election, over 3 million of you will find your registration go poof. They toss out your mail-in ballot because you've used the wrong envelope for postage due, forgot to add your middle initial, fly poop on the ballot, or you didn't fill in the bubble.
We've been invited into the home of voters whose votes didn't count.
Did not fill in the bubble.
So why didn't you fill in the bubble?
Because I didn't know when you fill in the name that you had to put a bubble.
Mom, it said you had to put in the fill in the bubble.
I'm sorry.
Put you on.
Your sister and I did not draw black circles.
She's an ex-school teacher. She knows how to fill in a bubble.
I'm an ex-school teacher. She's a lawyer.
That's
we
right.
did not do it.
There's purging, caging, or you have the wrong ID. In Texas, hands up. Gun ID, okay. School ID, not okay. In some states, up to 45% of new registrations are simply tossed in the spoilage bin. Don't worry, they'll tell you. If your name's missing from the voter roll, you get something called a provisional ballot. But because your name's not on the rolls, they throw it out. But you get to pretend you voted. Then there's good old ballot stuffing. Whose votes get thrown in the spoilage dumpster? According to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the chance of your vote spoiling is 900% higher if you're black than if you're white.
So there we have it. There we have it. That's just a little clip from this DVD, and we're going to go deeper into it, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to make your phone call, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and we are going to look at, we're going to go a little bit back to the beginning in our next segment. And we're going to really look at how this has happened. So let me start with the intro to the DVD. And it's a small little clip, but it gives us an idea of where this film is going. And then we're going to look at some other aspects of it. And I'm just fully, fully amazed, to tell you the truth, that what's taking place is really taking place. It's just incredibly amazing to me. And let's see. It seems, let's see if I can get this to play. One. I'll play two segments, and then we'll be back again.
My name's Pallast.
You.
Greg Pallast.
I'm an investigative reporter. I hunt billionaires who misbehave. And every 4 years, I become a crime reporter. The crime, election theft. Aren't election thieves, vote rustlers, ballot bandits?
Investigative reporter Greg Pallast wades through the dirty political tactics. Newsnight.
It all began in 2000 when a little birdie dropped off an envelope marked confidential. It was the secret list kept in Florida state computers that stole the election for George W. Bush. 2004, and the birdie's back with something called a caging list, and they stole the White House again. This is the story of the investigation of the theft of the 2016 election. It's a crime still in progress, and a hunt for the very rich guys behind the crime. How are they going to do it? I hadn't a clue. Then one night, in my little New York City detective agency office on 2nd Avenue.
2012, and she found 35,500 people voted in North Carolina and voted in some other state. So you're talking about probably over a million people that voted twice in this election.
Really?
That voted twice in this election.
Say what, Dick?
The first concrete evidence we've ever had of massive voter fraud. We've talked about it ad nauseum. This proves it.
I usually don't pay attention to a Fox News freak like Dick Morris, but he was senior counsel to the president until he was caught calling the White House while a hooker sucked on his toes.
Over a million people that voted twice in this election.
A million double voters? Really, Dick? You vote twice, you get 5 years in the slammer.
Voted in North Carolina and voted in some other state.
What fool would listen to this wacky accusation?
This voting system is out of control. You have people, in my opinion, that are voting many, many times.
Say what, Donald?
You have people, in my opinion, that are voting many, many times. That are voting many, many times. Many, many times.
Really, Donald? A double voting crime wave. Is there really a gigantic conspiracy of 1 million Democrats to vote twice? Or is it a massive scheme to take away the votes of a million innocent people? There's only one way to find out. I have to get the list of these skanky alleged double voting fiends. So the next day, I call down to Carolina. If they've really caught thousands of double voting criminals, I want their names.
All I'm asking for is, can we get a copy of the names?
I'm requesting those names of the double voters. But I got the official screw you. This was a criminal investigation, and it's all confidential. You've got a list of 35,000 suspects, and the names are secret.
You're telling me this list of bad guys, it's completely confidential. It's confidential.
I tried Mississippi, Arizona, 28 states, same jive.
Confidential, really. It's confidential. It's confidential. It's confidential. No, you don't even say it.
I put Ms. Badpenny and the entire team on it. Screw confidential. Get me the lists. It took 5 months, but what do you know? Our little birdie schmoozes some bureaucrat into turning over the confidential list we're not supposed to see. So here's their big secret. Interstate cross-check. Cross-check? And here they are, the suspects, duplicate voters. Look at this, 7.2 million suspects in 29 states. A list of duplicate voters, if that's what they are. With a hit list this big, you can fix any election. You can steal the White House.
In
Interstate cross-check. A list of 7 million voters. I've seen lists like this before.
It was 16 years ago in Florida.
A different hidden database of voters secretly tagged for elimination. The year was 2000.
It was during that fight between George W. Bush and Al Gore when the battle for the White House was down to the count. Before the election, Jeb Bush, governor of Florida, and his trusty Secretary of State, Catherine Harris, hunted down convicts, convicted felons who had registered to vote, and kicked them right off the voter rolls. We're talking killers, bank robbers, drug lords, they heroically removed the voting rights of an astonishing 94,000 Florida voters. Other states, Colorado, Tennessee, Arizona, secretly joined in the great felon voter purge. Ex-cons willing to go back to prison just to vote? My suspicions got me moving. I grabbed a plane. I have to see these ex-con voters for myself. I hopped around the country to investigate this supposed crime wave of ex-cons voting, but I couldn't find a single illegal voter. So I went to the big house. I'd find out once and for all, do felon voters even exist? Here they are.
Are any of you registered to vote?
No, we're not. No.
I am.
I'm a registered voter. I just have a misdemeanor.
But I just couldn't find these criminal felon voters. Then an envelope arrived on my desk. It was the list of those Florida murderers and mobsters who had registered to vote. Nothing matched up. The names of the voters didn't match up with the names of the felons. Jonathan Barber lost his vote because Vinnie Barbieri was convicted of a crime. And Jonathan has a different birthday than Vinny. Thousands of mismatched birth dates. Some of these criminals were convicted in the future. Way in the future. And thousands never convicted at all. Something was wrong here. The voters that were purged just didn't match up with the felons. Turns out, the number of real criminals on Bush's Florida felon list? Zero. Nada. Bupkis. But look at this. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 huh? Ah. Most of the innocent folks who lost their vote were marked BLA, black. Like this guy, Willie Steen. He lost his vote because some other guy named Willie Osteen was convicted of a felony in Ohio.
No criminal at all. Never been convicted of any crime. I've never been arrested in my life.
So I went to Catherine Harris's office to show her elections chief their phony little felon list. But suddenly, he had to go.
And I think I'm done with this interview.
Wait, well, let me just show you the contract, if I could. It could look to other people that you paid $4 million to purchase this election for the Republican Party. Mr. Roberts?
After the state troopers took me away, his boss, Catherine Harris, pronounced Governor Jeb's brother president of the United States by just 537 votes.
But who cares? Does it really matter if some politician shoplifts an election?
Good times. These are the good times. Leave your cares behind.
I'm the guy who pulled the trigger.
And there you have it. Now, this is such an interesting film. It's actually very, very well produced. And there's a way in which it's quite entertaining, the way it's put together. So it's enjoyable because there is some humor used. There is a lot of music. There are different voices and It's just very well put together. But the real value of this film is the information that it shares. And he goes back to the 2012 election, which was a fairly significant election. And he goes back even further than that in this film. And he just shows systematically how people are being eliminated from the rolls. And it just seems to be escalating year after year after year. And so I just feel that this is something that we have been impacted with. We could see it in our own primaries here in New York City, where thousands of people were purged from the rolls. And this has been going on systematically, escalating over the last several years. And this newest scheme is they call it a, you know, duplicate voters. They're accusing people of voting in multiple states, which is utterly absurd. And it's more absurd because the actual cross-check doesn't really match. When you look at it, you'll see that the names and the people are clearly not the same people. Yet, this cross-checking organization is submitting these people's names, and these people are actually being eliminated from the rolls. So it becomes a real controlling factor when it comes to the outcome of our elections. You're listening to The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It is a DVD, and we're offering it to you for your pledge to support WBAI, and you can do that at the $75 level, and we can thank you with this DVD. But remember, you can also become a regular member at the $25 level. You can support the station by becoming a BAI buddy, and by doing that, you can make an ongoing donation of a smaller amount. That could be $10, or it could be any amount. It could be $50, it could be $100, depending on your ability to donate to the station. But we absolutely need your support. And I believe that this film proves that without media such as WBAI, this information really would not be shared with the public, because we cannot depend on the mainstream media, which is really tied to these very same money changers, and they're not going to cover this issue. And this is vitally important because we're really looking at a rollback of voting rights in this country.
Well, you know, it was Greg Palast mentioned at the screening that I went to, at which he was present. He said he could not release the story in mainstream media because they would never accept it, they would never run it. So he put it in an entertainment format in the form of this movie. So it is entertaining, but yet factual, vital information. And the number to call, 516-620-3602.
Yes, and remember, when you make that phone call, you can honor that pledge by using your cards, credit or debit cards. You can also ask for an invoice and send a check or money order. And if you prefer, you can use any of these means and pay your pledge in installments. But we do really need that support. WBAI needs that support. And Pacifica is one of the few rogue networks in the world at this moment, or certainly in the United States, because we don't submit to the force of the elite. We don't submit to the needs of the corporations. What we do is we try to provide you with valuable information that's going to be life-saving, life-changing, and be able to be a tool for us to protect our rights, civil liberties, and to be able to have some evidence, some proof of what's really happening in this country. And as you listen to this film, you're really going to see how deep this hole goes. Please do make that phone call, 516-620-3602. It's still in my brain. 516-620-3602 is the number for you to call to make your pledge of support. You can also go to the website, give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, and you can search and pledge for the best democracy money can buy. And we're asking for your support in the amount of $75 when you call that number. Again, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And we will certainly play a little bit more of this documentary. It's really important for us to share the information. It's really a matter of sharing the information.
And also, it's going to be your advantage when you actually have the DVD and you get to see the visual behind this that goes with the audio that you're hearing now.
Absolutely. And we can't play the whole film, certainly. We don't have enough time for that. But I want you to be able to hear enough of the film to be inspired to make that phone call. So we're waiting for you to make that phone call right now. The number is 516-620-3602. And we are sharing with you the film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And it's an award-winning investigative journalist, Greg Palast, digs deep to unearth the ugly facts that few reporters working anywhere in the world today have the courage or ability to cover. And he's famous because he's been doing this for a very long time. From East Timor to Waco, he has exposed some of the most egregious causes of political corruption, corporate fraud, and financial manipulation in the U.S. and abroad. His uncanny investigative skills, as well as his no-holds-barred style, have made him an anathema among magnates on four continents, and a living legend among the colleagues of his devoted readership. And this exciting film is now revised and updated, brings together some of Palast's most powerful sharing of these stories. Again, that number is
516-620-3602. And Greg Palast is also author of, that was another premium of ours, a paperback, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote Vulture's Picnic, another hardcover book.
And we're going to be actually be looking at all of these stories right now, because he covers quite a lot of this in this DVD. He talks about the vultures and all the other unfortunates, billionaires, millionaires who have come together to defraud Americans. But most specifically, it's also an effort on the part of the Republican Party to defraud people of color of their votes. So it plays out that it affects black people, Hispanic people, Latino people, and Asians. And so there's massive, massive voter fraud. And the people that are being taken off the list and their votes not counted, being given provisional ballots, and those ballots not being counted, is actually changing and impacting elections. It's making it possible for certain people to get put into office who are beholding to the money changers, the ones who are footing the bill, because they're getting such huge money in campaign contributions. So it's really quite frightening when you think about it. So I'm going to play just a little bit more here. We'll play a little bit more about the cross-check. And then also Greg Palast starts to really try to hunt down these lists and to find out what's really going on. So we're just going to hear a little bit of this, and then we'll be back again to ask for your support. Oops. That's not what I had in mind.
Does it matter? Yes, it does. Now, I've got this new cross-check list, a whole lot bigger than that list of fake felons. And cross-check ain't just Florida. It's in 29 states, almost all Republican-controlled.
Either this is the biggest voting crime wave in U.S. history, or it's the biggest con since Dick Cheney took us on a little hunting trip to find weapons of mass destruction.
Is this cross-check list going to steal the 2016 election? I don't know. But to investigate would require my flying my ass down to Dixie and all over hell. Forget it. I've been on the vote heist beat for 20 years. I'm done. I just had a quadruple bypass. My plan for the year involved nothing more than a hammock and a pina colada.
Stop it. Get to work.
This is Lenny Badpin, our chief investigatrix, punk rocker, Stakeout Svengali, detective extraordinaire.
Palace? You're going to North Carolina.
Once we got way down south in Dixie, I headed through the stately plantation houses of Georgia. The state had just joined cross-check. Whipped up by reports of voter fraud in inner-city Atlanta, Republican leaders had gathered at a golf course to take action.
Do you think that the Democrats are voting fraudulently? Are they trying to steal the election?
Well, we certainly hear that data. There are certainly enough reasons to believe that may be happening. The fact that that could be happening is an enormous threat to our country and to our Constitution. And we must uncover it.
So I went to hunt down these voting games in nearby Atlanta. Undercover in Martin Luther King's old church, joining a group of Democrats on their way to vote.
Is everyone excited to vote?
Yes, very.
So you remember before the Voting Rights Act.
All of us do.
Do you remember when African Americans were blocked from voting?
Oh, yeah, from a lot of things I remember.
Yeah. Couldn't even go to the movie theater when you went up top.
Couldn't use the toilet. Nothing.
Popcorn on.
They had colored popcorn.
So is it different now?
Popcorn for colors.
Yeah, we've come a long way. Not
long enough.
Right, not long enough. So is anyone still getting, feel that there's any trouble still going on? You think that happy to see you? Do you think that the state's happy to see you voting today?
No.
Not really. Not the Republicans. Uh-huh. They're trying to squash the vote as it is.
Uh-huh.
And it is what it is.
Now you have to have identification to vote. You know that.
Right, yeah.
Before you didn't have to.
Everyone have their ID with them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I have mine.
Is that the law you have to have?
Yes. I got mine.
In Georgia. Yeah.
In Georgia.
Yes.
Other states you don't.
This is what the ID looks like.
Oh, can I see that?
Took me months to get it.
Took you months to get the voter ID.
Yes, and it's not even, it's flimsy.
Mr. James Jackson,
right?
The state of Georgia is matching names with people who voted in other states to see if you've already voted.
James Jackson is on the cross-check list.
You didn't illegally vote twice, did you?
No.
So, who first accused these folks of voting twice? The answer would take me to Carolina to meet the man responsible for bringing cross-check way down south of Dixie, Colonel Jay DeLancey.
And you would think that Jim Crow rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. DeLancey was the lobbyist who got Carolina to join the cross-check purge from his foxhole.
What really concerns us is the people who are impersonating another voter. And this is what they're really looking at with this investigation with the dual state voters.
This is interstate cross-check.
Okay.
Okay, these are the states.
Colonel DeLancey is commander-in-chief of the Voter Integrity Project. These valiant vigilantes hunt down fraudulent voters. Problem is, they haven't captured a single double voter, despite their sophisticated methods.
We looked at sites like Ancestry.com, BenVerified, MyLife.com. Fraud's hard to find.
Hard to find? Really? 35,000 suspects in this state. The state's even brought in an FBI agent. He ought to be able to find them blindfolded. So I went to the office of the North Carolina Elections Board, to the Republican PR flack, who refused to give me the cross-check lists. The guy who said they were confidential. I didn't tell him I had them. I just wanted to know.
Why were you denied the list?
You weren't the only group to ask for it, of course. We were threatened with many lawsuits.
Oh. Do you consider voting fraud a serious crime?
Certainly. It's certainly a problem if people do that.
Your G-man, Stuber, is going after voter fraud. So how's fishing? Have you caught any fraudulent voters?
So we participated in the Kansas cross-check, and that yielded a number of individuals that we wanted to look into further. It's part of an ongoing investigation, and we've been partnering with other cross-check participating states to get the information that we would need, that if there was any type of inappropriate behavior, we would be able to send the right evidence onto the DAs, and the DAs could decide whether to prosecute or not.
I mean, is it really difficult to find these people? You have their addresses. These are double voters. I know you say it takes a while, but it's April, and this is an FBI agent, and you don't have anyone. But you had this whole, like, hysteria over the fraudulent voters, but they don't seem to exist.
Kansas? Why Kansas?
Okay, Sherlock, tell me about this list.
It's not a list of double voters, is it, Palast?
It's just a giant list of common names.
Yeah, real common. Jackson, Wong, Hernandez. Seems like someone really hates people with common names.
So you're trying to tell us that they hate them enough to spend millions to write them off the voter rolls? Really, man?
So where do I go now?
It says Kansas, Dorothy. Kansas.
So hit the yellow brick road, Toto.
That's just great. I guess I'm off to Kansas. Here's our file on the Wizard of Crosscheck. The wizard is this guy, Chris Kobach. Wow, Harvard, Yale, Oxford. Republican whiz kid created the computer databases for Homeland Security, which tracks Arabs traveling around the U.S. Successful businessman with a family-friendly assault rifle company. And the Voldemort of the entire interstate cross-check data system. And odd for an elected official, he's also a lawyer for FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, whose founder's goal is to preserve a European-American majority. As Secretary of State, he's the top election official in Kansas, Republican superstar. Kobach and FAIR convinced the little town of Farmers Branch, Texas, to pass a law arresting anyone doing business with illegal immigrants, like selling one a Slurpee. Courts found the law racist and unconstitutional. It's interesting that someone gave the town $100,000 to pay Kobach's fee. He's already become a Fox News national hero for saving America from an invasion of alien voters.
Those dangerous aliens, dreamer aliens, alien votes.
Republicans claim millions of aliens vote in our elections.
12 million illegal aliens in the USA who could vote without proper identification.
They're bringing drugs.
Of illegals not supposed to be in the country, but registered to vote.
They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Those are all the reasons I decided that I'm endorsing Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States.
Republicans claim literally millions of alien voters are pouring over the border. Arizona built this prison for alien voters, but there aren't any. To grab and jail them, Kobach wrote a law for Arizona, SB 1070, known as the Driving While Brown Law. Other Kobach laws were credited with stopping terrorists intent on voting. I tracked down one suspect stopped from voting. She uses the name Shirley.
Shirley,
are you a terrorist? Are you a terrorist?
Terrorist.
Somebody blow up buildings and stuff.
Will you blow up buildings?
Here, in a desert hideout, I found a whole gang that the law blocked from voting.
Father?
Kobach's laws blocked 200,000 voters in Arizona alone. Over 60% are Hispanics and Native Americans. Kobach has ruled that voters must prove that they are Americans to vote, but he was blocked by a lawsuit filed by a group of ladies he exposed as a communist front, as he calls them, the Communist League of Women Voters. So I hit Wichita. I arrived just in time to catch white Republicans in their natural habitat. It's feeding time, what anthropologists call an ice cream social. I was in the mood for chocolate, but all they serve is vanilla. Kobach's citizenship test for voting knocked out 36,000 young new voters, under 30s. Now I see why. Kobach's voters have an average age of 115. And there he is, the Wizard of Crosscheck. Kobach refused to meet with me, but I'm about to meet with him.
We're number one. And we may not always be number one in NCAA basketball, but we're number one when it comes to guns and protecting elections, and I'll take that any day.
Go right down.
I'm going to go. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go around the other side.
I'm going to go down next one.
Okay. Mr. Kobach?
Hey. Hi.
Hey, I want to congratulate you. You are the number one fraudulent voter hunter in the United States.
Thank you very much.
You are the guy behind the cross-check list. Title on this list is duplicate voters, okay? So wait, I've noticed, you notice most of the names are, wait, sir, that most of these names are
to the flag of the United States of America.
This reminds me, Kobach took on the president over double voters.
Take double voting. That's a slam dunk to prove that. A guy's voted in Kansas and he's voted in Colorado. It's a state crime. It's also a federal crime, but the Obama administration is not interested in prosecuting. Surprise, surprise.
I wanted to know why cross-check is so secretive.
Why wouldn't you give out the list? Why are these such secret lists?
If they are really
not a secret list, his office said it was a secret, not subject to disclosure. We had to lift it through a side channel. My alarm was ringing.
What is the point of sending a card to James Evans Johnson to prove that he is not James P. Johnson? What's the point of sending him a card?
That should not be an individual who's deemed a match.
Excuse me, but you say ignore the matches. You tell people to go. You tell the states. This is you, right? Kansas Secretary of State. Secretary of State. Yeah, this is you.
How come you have these as the same voter? Potentially the same voter.
Our system would not yield them.
This is from your system.
But his system did target Johnson. All these are his matches.
This is the list you gave Virginia, and on the basis of this list, you know that Virginia removed 41,000 voters based on the list you gave them?
That is false.
but Virginia did cancel the registrations of these voters. Why lie?
You've said that there is a massive problem with double voters. You've given out this list.
These are not
this
double voters.
This is the list. You say it's potential double voters.
No.
All of his own propaganda says potential duplicate voters. Double votes. It's his own words. These documents cross-check with his wardrobe. While the in secrecy about cross-check.
They don't match.
You're lying.
This is a random list of
Kobach statements. Knows cross-check's just a con. Based on the Virginia data, they're going to knock out 1 million voters and steal the election.
Go away.
If cross-check's legit, why hide the lists?
Thank you, sir.
Why the lies? We're out of here, Toto. But where the hell do I go now?
We're out of here, Toto.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Exactly. We're not in Kansas. Well, I never was. But this is so fascinating because really this is how the control of the Congress has been enforced. It's through this sort of illicit way of controlling the votes through various escalating means. And right now they're doing the whole cross-check thing. And so essentially this is a bogus scheme in which lists of voters are compared from state to state based on the skimpiest of evidence. Because when you look deeply at this list, it actually they're not the same people, but there's no real investigation because obviously the purpose of it is to eliminate voters from the rolls. So it's mind-boggling, and it's happening, and people are getting away with it because people don't know exactly the mechanism that's taking place. And this is why this is such a valuable film. Because it does show the mechanism.
You know, what's also interesting is the amount of running around, traveling, that Greg had to do to get this. He even goes to Eskimo country, and you see him interviewing an Eskimo. By the way, I won't mention what he had to eat, you know, to partake of the hospitality of one of these Eskimos.
Yeah, maybe we'll play that clip, but that was a pretty raucous clip. But it's amazing because the story with the Eskimo really ties into the whole pipeline issue, which is very key. And so we get to see how all of this water pollution, the fracking, the pipelines, it's not about the need for oil. It's about the greed of a certain few, the Koch brothers at the top of the list, who are buying politicians, manipulating the elections in order that they profit. And this is the frightening truth, because I say frightening because they're putting people in office, they're paying politicians, and then you have the Supreme Court, which is very conservative, rolling back voters' rights. We have Congress pulling back the Voters' Rights Act, so that claiming that there are no more problems. And after that happened, that's when a lot of these games started to take place, and people have been taken off the rolls in huge numbers, by the millions. A lot of younger voters have been taken off the rolls. Many, many, many Black, Latino, and Asian voters are being taken off the rolls. And we're wondering, how is it possible that Bernie Sanders didn't really win in many of these elections, in which it's certainly believed that he should have had enough votes? Well, if they are cheating people out of their votes, I mean, we all suspect it as such, but this is really giving you the mechanism, and it gives you the names behind it, and it shows you where the money is, following the money trail. So it's a very, very powerful film and very important film. And we are asking you to support WBAI because this is information that needs to be shared publicly, that needs to get out to the mass population, because it's the only way to put a stop to this travesty is for people to understand exactly what's happening. These people are criminals. They need to go to jail. That's all I can say. They need to go to jail. They're criminals. So we're asking you to call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And there may very well need to be another massive effort to put a stop to this, because if we're sitting comfortably in our armchairs, it's not going to happen. We're just going to end up losing what few rights we have left. And it's interesting because it's clear that the media is working to, and some of the candidates are working to turn people against each other, to blame each other, to bring a heightened sense of racism into the conversation without any information about what's really going on behind the scenes. So this is information for everyone to know, no matter the race, no matter the party. This is fraud, deep, deep fraud and criminality being perpetrated on the American people. The number is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Please go to your phone right now and make that phone call to show your support for WBAI Radio. It makes all the difference in the world that you are supporting this radio station, and it's really critical at this time, at this stage, that our radio station be supported, that we are able to sustain so that we can bring you this kind of information. And this is a deep investigation, a very powerful investigation. We're asking you to call that number, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602, and we are asking you to make a pledge of $75 to support WBAI. Of course, you can make a donation in any amount when you call that number, 516-620-3602. But we're offering you a copy of the DVD, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, by put together by Greg Palast. It's only a pledge of $75 when you call that number, 516-620-3602. If you value the information, if you value the work, if you value and want this to continue, for WBAI to be able to continue to sustain the discourse, the public discourse, then we do need a donation of some amount. Whatever you can manage would be great. You can pledge at the $25 level. You can become a WBAI buddy and offer $10 a month. You can pledge for any premium you might have heard earlier. I happen to think that this is one of the best that we have to offer you, and that's the best democracy money can buy. It is a mind blower when you really look at all the things that are going on behind the scenes, and not really behind the scenes. We can clearly see the fraud, but this really puts it together, connects the dots, and names the names. And it is a tool for us to be activists, for us to make change, for us to lobby, for us to be in the streets and demand that this fraud come to an end. The number is 516-620-3602.
You know, and you can also see, this film helps you to see, integrate what's going on in so many areas. Like, it's even related to Standing Rock, the pipeline there, the Trans-Pacific Partnerships. You know, how many people don't know, what's that? Trans-Pacific Partnerships. What was North American Free Trade Agreements? What was NAFTA? Who's involved? You know, it's all related to what these people are doing, these few people at the top.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to go back and play a little bit more. And let's see if we can inspire you to make that pledge of support. Again, the number is 516-620-3602. It's a pledge of $75, and that $75 goes a long way towards supporting and sustaining WBAI, and even more so when there's a number of you who make that phone call. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. So we're going to go back a little bit more, and we're going to start seeing how Greg Palast works to connect the dots.
Kobach's behind the cross-check con, but who's behind Kobach? Just give me a sign, Lord. I just need a clue. Who's got the millions and millions to promote this voter vanishing game?
It says Kansas, Detective Kansas.
Genius, nobody takes a crap in Kansas without the approval of the brothers.
The Kochs again. I've been on the trail of the Kochs for 2 decades.
Koch Industries operatives would bury oil next to drinking water sites, would pollute rivers over and over again.
Man, I had too much hair. 20 years ago, David and Charles Koch were the richest guys you've never heard of. They got their money the old-fashioned way. They stole it from the Indians, like this. The Osage Indians, poorer than dirt, let the Kochs truck away oil from their Oklahoma reservation. Koch would pay for 90 barrels of oil, but Charles told their truckers to take 100. One of Koch's buddies told us that when he asked Charles why the billionaire would skim $3 a week from some poor Indian family, Koch said,
"I want my fair share, and that's all of it."
$3 a week per Indian added up to over $1 billion for the Kochs. The FBI and federal prosecutors wrote up a criminal indictment that could put Charles behind bars for theft and racketeering. But the Kochs got their buddy, Kansas Senator Bob Dole, to get the prosecutor replaced with a crony, and the criminal indictment went poof. The Kochs then gave the senator $100,000, which federal authorities made him give back. In 1995, Koch Oil was charged with 312 criminal counts of dumping 3 million gallons of oil sludge into rivers in 6 states. Rather than comply with the law, they decided to buy control of the entire U.S. Congress to change the law. How? The answer came from an insider who called me to rat on Charles and David, their little brother Billy.
Little Koch told me that his brothers...
My brother, unfortunately, abused himself above the law.
Which brother? You have three.
Charles. Back to his libertarian philosophy, where he believes that laws are immoral.
Yeah.
Abused himself as being above it, mm-hmm. and will go out and do whatever he wants, steal oil, pollute the environment, etc. And then he gets caught. What he then does, or someone's coming after him on it, then he goes and buys all the politicians he can to counter that influence, try to mitigate the cost of the crime. And they've been very effective at it, very effective. I know they've given $2 million to Dole.
Right.
And let's say they've given $5 million to Triad.
Kobach's behind the cross-check con, but who's behind Kobach?
Just give me a sign, Lord. I just need a clue. Who's got the millions and millions to promote this voter vanishing game?
It says Kansas, Detective Kansas.
Genius, nobody takes a crap in Kansas without the approval of the brothers.
The Kochs, again. I've been on the trail of the Kochs for 2 decades.
Koch Industries operatives would bury oil next to drinking water sites, would pollute rivers, over and over again.
Man, I had too much hair. 20 years ago, David and Charles Koch were the richest guys you've never heard of. They got their money the old-fashioned way. They stole it from the Indians, like this. The Osage Indians, poorer than dirt, let the Kochs truck away oil from their Oklahoma reservation. Koch would pay for 90 barrels of oil, but Charles told their truckers to take 100. One of Koch's buddies told us that when he asked Charles why the billionaire would skim $3 a week from some poor Indian family, Koch said,
"I want my fair share, and that's all of it."
$3 a week per Indian added up to over $1 billion for the Kochs. The FBI and federal prosecutors wrote up a criminal indictment that could put Charles behind bars for theft and racketeering. But the Kochs got their buddy, Kansas Senator Bob Dole, to get the prosecutor replaced with a crony. And the criminal indictment.
Well, I think I ran that one twice, so we'll skip to the next one. And in the meantime, we'll ask you to make that phone call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Holy mama! Triad was the secret conduit of those millions to a front called Coalition for Our Children's Future. The children ran ads linking Democrats to child molesters, wife beaters, and they accused one Democrat of being Jewish. Oy vey, the smear worked, and the Koch Republicans took control of the 105th Congress.
If Koch Industries had secretly funded Triad, then the brothers had committed a go-to-jail crime. At the time, it was illegal for corporations to grease political campaigns. Doesn't matter. In the case of Citizens United, the Supreme Court decriminalized campaign contributions by corporations.
Like ISIS, Inc. and Manson & Company. Billy Koch also told me that his brothers had put up over $75 million to set up a series of think tanks and front groups, including Citizens for a Sound Economy, which the Kochs morphed into FreedomWorks, which drafted the demands of a group of cross-dressers called the Tea Party. Their first target, eliminate the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, the pollution police, giving the Kochs such a hard time. The Kochs also fund the Heritage Foundation, which promotes the mass purge of voter rolls.
And the Heritage Foundation's latest crusade? Kansas Interstate Crosscheck.
I get bad penny on the case. Connect Mr. Crosscheck Kobach.
Okay, pay attention.
And the brothers Koch.
Koch brothers. They've hired Whitney Ball to run their money funneling outfits. Donors Capital Fund, State Policy Net, the Heritage Foundation, over a million of American NRA, Ray Delancey, the Voter Integrity Project.
Jim Crow,
so has
from
Josh
Wilson.
Or Pio, $1,000 in legal fees.
So that Carolina Schmuck was Kobach's partner.
Cancer can vote, true the vote, voting, anti-immigration, trust. Over a million to Numbers USA. 100,000. Farmers Branch, Chris Kobach. Got that?
So the Kochs shoveled a pile of cash to Donors Trust, which gave a cool million to Numbers USA, which dropped 100 grand on Farmers Branch. And that's the mystery money that went to Kobach. So Kobach's just another spider in the Koch web, taking their cash, and now he's bleaching the voter rolls for the Kochs. But why? Why do guys who have $100 billion need to buy the White House? I had no idea.
until Bad Penny received a message from the chief of criminal intelligence of the Arctic Republic.
Look, look, the oil is coming from up here. It connects, the two pipelines connect here in Alberta. What we're missing is the opportunity to bring it to the even larger petrochemical refineries that are in Texas.
Karl Rove, chief of staff to the President of the United States.
He was known as Bush's brain, but Bush called him turd blossom.
Absolutely, and one other geopolitical point. This would reduce our reliance upon the heavy crude, similar that comes out of Canada, that comes out of Venezuela. It would allow us to further crater our opponents in Venezuela, the despotic regime there that is anti-American and is fueling...
Turd blossom. Blossom has been in the computer targeting game since his 20s as a voter database nerd working for the creep.
Well, I'm not a crook.
It's part of a revolution in campaign financing. Massive computerized appeals based on direct mail lists. The plan is to keep such complex, expensive campaign technological apparatus out of sight and out of the headlines as much as possible.
And here's how Rove uses his computers. I know. I've been investigating Rove since 2004, when that little birdie, love that little guy, dropped off some highly, highly confidential emails from Karl Rove's research chief to George W. Bush's campaign chiefs, titled Caging. The lists were names of voters living at homeless shelters and minority soldiers at the Naval Air Station in Florida. The homeless weren't home, and Bad Penny discovered the sailors were overseas. So I took the thousands of names to a law school dean who explained caging to me.
Caging is a system by which you can target cohorts of voters and get them excluded from the lists. And it's illegal in this country. And it's illegal particularly if you... It's illegal under a number of statutes, but it's if you target black or minority voters, it's illegal under the Voting Rights Act of 1965 specifically. It's a felony, and it's punished by high fines, but also imprisonment. The Republican Party has done this in the past. They will get the addresses of the black voters in a particular state. Then they'll mail certified letters to each of those homes. And if the voter is not there at the time that the letter is delivered to accept delivery, the post office will automatically send that letter back to the sender, which in this case is the Republican National Committee. If the letter comes back, the Republican National Committee uses that letter as presumptive evidence that the voter gave a false address on his voting form and is therefore ineligible to vote.
To Iraq.
That was Robert Kennedy Jr.
It's effective. It's illegal. It's Rove. Now, Rove and his computers have grown up. The simple caging computers have morphed into Data Trust, hourly tracking over 1,800 things about you, Mr. Voter, including the last time you downloaded porn, to whether you ordered Chinese food just before you voted.
I think that's creepy.
Mark Sweetland is an expert for companies that live and die by their databases.
I360 Data Trust have literally thousands of data points on you, Greg Palast, and on me, and on everybody who's watching this film.
Wait, what's this I360?
Their databases would include trillions of data points on hundreds of millions of people.
Rove is partnered with this bigger voter surveillance system called I360. Who gets all that creepy data? Turns out, I360 was founded by two brothers.
I want my fair share. And that's all of it.
With all that computer power, couldn't the Kochs and Rove find real double voters?
You could do that in a heartbeat. Could you find double voters using a sophisticated database like I360 if they existed? I would argue it would be a piece of cake.
So why not? Is CrossCheck more sophisticated? Sweetland told me that CrossCheck is
incredibly simplistic. Such a sloppy technique. A very dangerous thing. What they did in the case of CrossCheck is to come up with the most simplistic mushing together of data. First name, last name, a childish methodology.
So why do Republicans use CrossCheck to name 7 million unlikely suspects when they can find double voters accurately and cheaply with I-360?
you know, there's just lots of things that make you wonder whether this is an effort to find how many people you can take off the voter rolls, as opposed to really finding those rare cases of people who vote across state lines.
Today, Rove has been given $500 million through his cover operation, American Crossroads, for winning back
the White House, taking the Senate, and keeping the House in Republican hands.
Officially, Rove's operation is a social services charity, like Save the Whales, so he can keep his donors' names in the dark. And look who we found in the darkness. Rove's top donor, I just knew it. Paul Singer, the vulture. I've been following this billionaire bird for a decade from the Andes.
Do you mind an interview for BBC television?
To Africa. The vulture got his name by the way he made his billions feasting on the corpses of dying nations. He figured out a way to grab the aid money meant for nations suffering civil war, mass starvation, and epidemics. Like any vulture, Singer feasts when his victims die. The vulture has been accused by Oxfam of grabbing money meant for cholera clinics in the Congos, like this one.
What's your favorite subject?
Mathematics
and French.
Oxfam is stunned that vulture financiers have seized over $100 million needed to clean the Congo's water supply.
$100 million for the Congo. How many villages could you provide clean water to?
5 million of people can have a good access to water and sanitation, and 200,000 children who have their life saved.
So $100 million, 200,000 children
saved. Saved, yes, very important.
Would that make you happy?
Very, very happy.
Well, forget happy. The vulture paid just $10 million for some old Congo Republic bonds, which he used to bleed $127 million from the suffering nation. Vultures are known to vomit on their enemies, so I wasn't surprised when Singer's henchman called my TV network to stop my investigation, saying,
"We have a file on Greg Palast."
Today, Singer the Vulture is the new number one donor to the Republican Party. The Vulture's money also hatched House Speaker Paul Ryan, the most powerful post in Washington after the president. So why does the Vulture have to spend all this money to buy the U.S. Congress? He needs a government who will declare war on Argentina. Tango dancers, gaucho? Yeah, that Argentina. The Vulture pulled his old Congo trick. He paid $50 million for some ancient Argentine bonds, but then demanded $3 billion ransom for those bonds. Argentina resisted, but Singer choked the country until he got his billions. A bigger bird tried to rescue Argentina, the American Eagle. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went to court to stop Singer's attack on Argentina. She would put him out of business. The Vulture made his biggest killing ever by preying on this third world nation, Detroit, and chewing on this, the corpse of the auto industry when it collapsed in 2009. 10 years earlier, to save money, General Motors had spun off its famous car parts company, Delco, and turned Delco into a separate company called Delphi. As part of a plan to bail out the auto industry, the government agreed to help GM buy back Delphi and save Delco's 25,000 happy dancing union workers. What GM and the government didn't know was that the Vulture and his partner had secretly scooped up ownership of Delphi. And the Vulture Pack told GM and the President of the United States that unless Obama gave the Vultures $12.9 billion, and now they would close down Delphi and cut off GM's parts. Ouch.
Without those parts, the entire auto industry would shut down forever, and over a million jobs would vanish. U.S. car czar called the vulture's demand extortion. But the U.S. Treasury paid the $12 billion. The vultures had bought Delphi for just 67 cents a share. With the bailout loop, the shares zoomed to $22. Singer Slice, 1,284,514,000. The celebration was short. Singer fired every single one of the union workers, and Delphi moved 100,000 jobs overseas, mostly to China. Then our little birdie dropped another paper into my hand, showing that before the 2012 election, Singer's Vulture Fund set up a special partnership with the blind trust of the wife of a presidential candidate.
For Purple Mountain's majesty above the fruited plain.
The vulture paid the Romneys up to $115 million out of the auto bailout loot. This was a whole new way to influence a president. Stuff $100 million into his bank account. I thought I'd ask the billionaire himself about his special way of enriching politicians. So I went to the vulture's nest. But his flax at Singer would meet with me never, ever. Then we got a tip. He'd be speaking at a fancy-ass hotel in New York. Badpenny laid out the elaborate plan to cover his escape routes.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, like, pay attention. So this is the rotunda where they walk through to go to those little steps. They come down the steps. Zach can hang out here to, in case he went in 61st and hung around there and then just walks down the steps into the lunchroom.
And we practiced signals with three undercover cameramen with visible and hidden cameras. This bird was going to get plucked. And we waited. The vulture suddenly appeared with two bodyguards.
Zach, he's around the corner. Singer, I just want to know, how many politicians have you made rich through secret partnerships?
Then locked himself in the nearest boys' room. There is no such thing as a victimless billionaire. I met some of the victims in Detroit. The city's streets had already been bank bombed, houses foreclosed and emptied, their windows smashed out, weeds belly high. It looked like the city had been punched in the face, its teeth knocked out.
This house here is vacant. This house is vacant. Then you look across the street over there. Those houses are vacant over there.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Pratt. They're going to lose their home, too. Robert Pratt's an auto worker, but his wife lost her job at the city of Detroit, and they couldn't make the payments on some predatory mortgage.
This is my son. This is my son here. This is Robert. That's the one who got shot in the backyard. That's my 12-year-old. That was my boy. Like I told my wife, I go to work every day. I'm a maintenance man. I have a shop. I go in the maintenance shop, and I close the door, and that's when I cry. That's when I cry, you know, because when I'm out around people, I try to stay strong and keep my eyes open and everything. But the pain runs so deep when you have to wake up every day wondering, is they going to try to take my house away? I mean, what's next?
Here's what's next. We snuck into Republican Party headquarters to investigate evidence the GOP was challenging the right of voters like Pratt, who are facing foreclosure, on grounds their homes are no longer valid addresses.
First of all, I know I
would lose your home, lose your vote.
Now I have to wake up and I'm like, man, they're trying to take my right to vote away? I mean, come on, how low can you go?
Real low, Mr. Pratt. You and 2 million other families are about to lose their homes, and someone couldn't be happier.
It's going really well for John Paulson.
Paulson made a personal profit of more than $5 billion last year, and that is probably the biggest one-year personal gain in investment history.
John Paulson, known as JP, the foreclosure king. One guy gets $5 billion in 1 year. He must have gotten it from Santa Claus.
Yeah, pay attention, Palace. In 2008, when the mortgage market was heading over a cliff, JP gave it an extra kick in the ass. Because every time a mortgage in America went kablooey, JP made another buck. Altogether, he made $5 billion. More money than any human since the pharaohs. Here's how he did it. In 2007, JP cut a deal with the bankers at Goldman Sachs. Goldman had lined up some schmucks, big European banks, and pension funds. Goldman told the schmucks that they and JP together would buy billions of dollars of something called CDOs, which stands for Synthetic Collateralized Debt Obligation Derivatives. If you don't know what a Synthetic Collateralized Debt Obligation Derivative, CDO, is, you're not a billionaire. Think of these derivatives as a kind of insurance on home mortgages. If the mortgage goes bad and someone loses their home to foreclosure, the insurers must pay. What Goldman didn't tell the schmucks providing insurance is that JP was secretly betting against these very mortgages. JP was the secret beneficiary of the insurance policies. JP was the one who would collect the insurance if the mortgages went to hell. It's kind of like an arsonist buying fire insurance on buildings he's sure will burn down. JP even helped pick out the mortgages that the schmucks would insure. He deliberately chose the subprime mortgages with horrible interest rates, like the one sinking the Pratt family. These stinking bags of mortgages were packaged into securities, those collateralized debt obligations. Within a year, the stinking bags of mortgage securities went down the toilet, losing 99% of their value as homeowners went bankrupt. The schmucks paid out billions, collected by JP. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission brought charges against JP's assistant, a French kid who translated JP's sales pitch. Goldman Sachs got charged with fraud and paid a $500 million fine. The mortgage market imploded and foreclosures exploded. And JP, lots of folks assumed he'd go to prison. No. The politically connected JP kept the whole $5 billion. He's not in jail. He's living large.
Wow. That's Ed Asner. There are a lot of interesting performers in this film.
Come on, listeners. Come on, answer up. This is vital information. This is so interesting, and it's vital to know. You may be able to avoid some catastrophe using the knowledge of this. You know, it reminds me of the 60s. We used to say, due to lack of interest, tomorrow has been canceled. Come on, are you like these people from the 60s? The phone lines should be overwhelmed. They should be overwhelmed with calls. Come on, dial up 516-620-3602. See the performance Ed Asner gives. You got to see the visual that goes with
these. I know. The visuals are some of them are hilarious. Some of them are stunning. But they're very impactful because it really does give you the sense of what's taking place here, where there's very, very few people who are in a very profound way impacting our world. So we're talking about the environment with the pipelines and the fracking and the treaties. We're talking about global conflicts with the, like for instance, they're looking for politicians that are going to undermine the government of Argentina. We're talking about the defrauding of people of their votes. It's amazing We all see it, but this really does lay it out for you. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. And we're asking you to show your support for WBAI so this kind of information can continue to make its way into the public domain. Because without this, in very short order, well, I was going to say the United States will be fascist, but I think it's already fascist.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, there's an opportunity at this point to still turn it around, to still grab the criminals before things get any worse. The number is 516-620-3602. It's a pledge of $75, and we thank you with this gift. It's really a thank you gift because what you're supporting is the radio station.
You could have this for your family, for your friends who may be undergoing a foreclosure or near the threat of such. And they could use this at least to understand what's happening, why, to understand the why behind this crisis, this economic crisis that we're in.
Well, yeah, I think it's more important. I agree it's important to understand the why, but it's also important to stop it.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, the level of exploitation that's taking place and people are being impoverished throughout all of these episodes in which the resources are being sucked out of these corporations like the auto industry in Detroit, and the government is being defrauded and held what did he say it was, you know, demanding payment in order to save the auto industry, and then they went ahead and closed the plants anyway and sent the jobs overseas. So really, it's like people are being convinced to vote against their own self-interest because of this frothing up of fear and this frothing up of racism and hatred. So this is all part of the game. You know, they pump it up. They have a candidate such as Trump who gets out there and sows hatred and fear. And then we have the people behind the scenes who are actually Trump's advisors, by the way, who are manipulating and manipulating and manipulating because of the real traitors, I would say, who are ending up in Congress as a result of this massive money input into their campaigns and into their careers, doing the bidding of these money changers at the top of the food chain. And who suffers? We do. You and I suffer. And this is why we need WBAI. This is why we need to be here to be able to work in against this, to work towards another direction, to be able to inform people of what's happening. And really, you know, the age when Martin Luther came on the scene in order to fight for, excuse me, for liberties and voting rights, the massive response to that, we may very well need to do this again. I'm very serious because this is not small what's being displayed in this film. It's a big deal to see what's happening and what has happened to all Americans, but most specifically to people of color with regard to voting rights. And I would like to pay a little bit further down in the film, and it really speaks to why this is happening. And it's because of the changing demographic. It's the changing demographic of this country. So it's to the point where the only way that these extreme right-wing Republicans or extreme right-wing of any party can win an election is to buy the election. And this has been going on for generations of presidencies, generations of Congress. And we wonder, how did things get so bad? And we, certainly I, have been looking out at the landscape and saying, what's wrong with these people? Why are they electing these, exploiters into office? And the truth is that they're not being elected. People's votes are being disenfranchised. And so this has to be stopped. And the only way it's going to be stopped is if a significant number of the voting population becomes educated about exactly what is happening. And that is the only way. And this is why we need for you to support WBAI with your phone call, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602 is your number to call and make that pledge of support. For your $75 pledge, we thank you with a copy of the DVD, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The number is 516-620-3602. Your $75 pledge can be honored with your cards, credit card or debit card. You may ask for an invoice and send a check or money order. Excuse me. And you can even honor that pledge by installments. But please do make that phone call. Show your support for WBAI. Show your support for this program. We're moving into the space of Jim Freund and Hour of the Wolf. We started out with Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And these are programs also that are valuable, but we need your support as well. I know it's difficult for sometimes to get to the phone or to do it, what needs to be done, but we're asking you to make that effort, to make that phone call and to show your support. The number is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And we are asking you to pledge $75. And we thank you with a copy of the DVD, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, produced by Greg Palast and his team. That number again is 516-620-3602. So I'm going to, I guess, play another clip. Let's see what we can come up with.
By the way, you know, it's interesting that with the Wells Fargo is another example of the finance, the banks. John Stamets, well, he was made to pay, give back $41 million. That we did, I think Amy Goodman had played the interview, the commentary that Senator Elizabeth Warren was talking to John Stamets about his financial dealings. And eventually he had to give back that money. So this